The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com and everywhere else you go to find your podcast. We are pleased to be part of the Buffalo Rumblings podcast channel. Of course, we come to you twice a week during the regular season. My name is John Boccacino along with Jamie D'Amico here on Believe. And Jamie, before we dive in, I can't put this in any more clear terms of what I'm going to say right here. I never thought when Buffalo got off to their hot start that I would be saying this week 11 matchup is a must-win game, but that's exactly what it is. Buffalo travels to South Beach on Sunday, and in no uncertain terms, the Bills need to win. Otherwise, I don't see a route to the playoffs.
That's exactly correct. And you expect teams to drop games that they shouldn't, and the Bills should not have lost to the Browns last weekend, but they can't do it twice, and they, in particular, can't do it 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, if they don't win this game, season over.
Especially with the fact that Buffalo, one thing the Bills have going for them is of their six wins so far, four are in the AFC. It really would have been nice to get that fifth one last week in Cleveland. The Bills did catch a break when the Steelers, before the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph brouhaha happened, the Steelers did suffer a loss 21-7 to Cleveland. Now the Browns are 4-6, the Steelers are 5-5, and more importantly, the Steelers are no longer the sixth seed in the playoff race. Buffalo is the five seed at 6-3. The Oakland Raiders, shocking, are the sixth seed currently at 5-4. And Pittsburgh is a half a game behind them with the Colts and the Titans also lurking in the playoff picture there. But for now, Buffalo needs to focus on what it can do to get its playoff destiny solidified, and it starts on Sunday, taking on a suddenly resurgent Miami Dolphins squad that apparently didn't get the memo. The players didn't get the memo from the front office that they're supposed to be a bad team. The Dolphins have won two straight games. One was against the Jets, which, I mean, they're still a pro football team in the loosest sense of the term. And you win the game, you get a nice little W in the column. But I was really impressed, even though they were facing Brian Hoyer, I was really impressed, Jamie, with the Colts game where Miami came out and they picked off Brian Hoyer, I think, three times, despite not having their two top cornerbacks out on the field in Xavien Howard and Rashad Jones. This Dolphins secondary is banged up. To use one of my favorite Chappelle Show quotes of all time, the Dolphins defense is bombed out and depleted, but they're still able to come away with these interceptions out here. What do you think Buffalo is scheming when it comes to a pass offense to try to attack a depleted Dolphins secondary?
I think their passing attack is going to be to not do it. It'll keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands and put it in Devin Singletary's. You would have thought that was going to be the plan against the Browns, and it should have been. But, Brian Daboll decided to outsmart himself. I think this week they get it right. They keep the ball on the ground. Devin Singletary is giving the Dolphins all they can handle. And if the Bills don't run the ball 20 to 25 times, it could get ugly, because we saw the Dolphins' defense, while not the most talented, they have the ability to take advantage of mistakes like they did against the Colts last week. So passing offense, I think that you're going to see them stretch it into the mid-range passes. I think that the Dolphins are going to come out with a lot of man coverage, because if you pay attention to what worked against the Bills last week, there was a lot of cover zero, which means no safety over the top, and man coverage with the line of scrimmage crowded with players. That managed to confuse Josh Allen, and the Bills abandoned the run because of it, because they thought that, hey, too many guys in the box. Well, they're going to run it despite all the guys being in the box this week, and you're going to see some excellent one-on-one matchups on the outside. And also, Cole Beasley, I think that he's going to victimize whoever's trying to cover him, be it a linebacker, a safety, or a nickel corner.
Well, Jamie, it does seem like common sense, but as we've seen with this Bills offense and under offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, common sense doesn't always reign supreme when it comes to their decision making. I was stunned, and I'm still stunned, at how little Devin Singletary touched the ball last week in the loss to Cleveland. He has 20 carries, 140 all-purpose yards against Washington the week prior. He gets 8 carries. He was still averaging nearly 5 yards a carry on those runs. So I'm really surprised that Brian Daboll didn't turn more to motor last week in Cleveland. I will say this, everyone's made a big deal out of the press conference with Sean McDermott, and it came out that he's told Josh Allen to play fearless, and there's some thought out there that, you know, Josh Allen, believe it or not, he gets a lot of shit for his turnovers, and while he still could be better at protecting the ball from fumbles, he's gone 128 straight passes without throwing an interception over his last 4+ games, which is clearly a career high for him. It's a really impressive streak, but the drawback to that is Allen has not been taking as many chances. He's been going deep. He has not been connecting. We covered that during last week's recap pod, but I wonder if This is Sean McDermott's attempt at getting his young quarterback to just loosen up and get back to playing football and not overthinking things. Because while he has not turned the ball over with an interception over his last 4.5 games, his completion percentages have dropped below 60%, meaning he's not making the continued progress that we saw at the beginning of the year. I wonder, Jamie, if this is the week that the Bills try, knowing that the Dolphins don't have their two key corners in Xavien Howard and Rashad Jones, maybe this is the week that Buffalo really does try to get the passing game going, and they could use the running game to set it up, because the run game for the Dolphins on defense is atrocious. Miami's run defense is just, they're 30th in the league. They're giving up almost 150 yards a game on the ground. So the recipe could be there for the Bills to have their way either way they choose, either way they slice it up on Sunday.
I'm glad that you brought that up about Josh Allen, and you're 100% correct. And the way to get there is to have a balanced attack, because if they're running the ball on first down and getting 4 to 5 yards, as Singletary seems to do, that opens up a plethora of options. And if the Dolphins don't know what's coming at them, that's going to make it much easier on Josh Allen. Like we said, he doesn't do well with the blitz, but you know, we're looking for Josh Allen to pull it all together, because we saw the hero ball Josh Allen. Now we have the Tyrod Taylor version of Josh Allen. Somewhere in the middle is the right answer. And at some point, as they were saying on the Nick and Nolan show, at some point it's going to click. And I'm looking forward to that. But we got to get him out of his head right now. This seems like the right opponent to do it against. And I like that Sean McDermott challenged him, because he's got to get his confidence back, and this is probably the type of team to do it against, because they have injuries in the secondary, and they're not really their best team in the NFL, to put it mildly.
Well, and I think, Jamie, you brought this point up earlier with the cover zero looks coming their way, you know, with no safeties out there. They are daring Josh to read and react to what he's seeing in an instant. And that has not been Josh Allen's strong suit so far since coming out of Wyoming. Well, how do you counteract a cover zero defense that you're facing if you're Josh Allen. You go to your safety blanket. You go to Cole Beasley. You feed him the rock. You get him on those quick slants. You get him going early and often. Obviously, John Brown is the Bills' best wide receiver, and the fact that John Brown has continued to prove to be the best free agent signing the Bills have made during the offseason. But if they can get Cole Beasley going early and often, get him 3-4 catches on the opening drive, that's going to do wonders to open things up, because now the Dolphins are going to have to adjust and adapt their defense to make up for the fact that Josh is torching them over the middle. Then you could see some healthy deep ball action to John Brown. Maybe they finally connect with either Andre Roberts or Robert Foster or Duke Williams, who was a healthy or who was a scratch last week against Cleveland. I think Buffalo has the weapons on this offense to really punish the Dolphins minus their top two corners. I think Cole Beasley is a matchup nightmare against the man coverage schemes, and I really look forward to seeing what Josh can do. I agree. I think challenging Josh Allen and just trying to get him to, as they say, play fearlessly is going to unleash something in him that we have not seen this year. And bold prediction, the Bills are going to complete a damn deep ball on Sunday with Josh Allen.
I'm glad you went with the deep ball and not the 300 yards, because
oh, yeah.
that seems like an aberration this season and won't happen.
Well, given the fact that he had a career high 266 yards last week in the loss to Cleveland, yeah, 300. And we've gone over this. 300 is an overrated stat. I want the team to win. I don't care about slinging the football for 300 yards. If Josh Allen is completing 65% of his passes and the Bills are winning their games, he can throw for 190 for all I care. The Bills need to just get this win.
Well, you know, you hit a couple of deep balls and suddenly your yardage jumps way up and you get close to that 300. But I mean, he threw it 40 times last week and still only had 260. I do not want Josh Allen throwing the ball 40 times. That's just not how this team is going to win. This team wins ugly, not flashy. They're not the Rams. They're not the Chiefs.
Well, speaking of winning ugly, Jamie, I think one thing that Bills fans should brace themselves for on Sunday, we talked about Devin Singletary and the ground game. I don't know if this is the week to turn to Devin Singletary 20 or 25 times on the ground, and here's why. The Dolphins give up 146 yards a game on the ground, and you would think, oh, John, why wouldn't they want to run Devin Singletary? They still can, but the vulnerability for this Dolphins defense is up the gut. It's up the middle. That's why I see Frank Gore having a larger responsibility on Sunday. The Dolphins are giving up almost 5 yards a carry on runs up the middle. That's 29th in the league, and that to me signifies that they're going to feed Frank Gore early and often and then turn to Singletary with those outside runs where he is so potent and so dangerous. And to me, I don't want to see Josh Allen slinging the ball 40 times over the yard on Sunday. I want to see a healthy running game, and I think Frank Gore is really going to return himself to prominence on this offense.
That's excellent insight right there. I wasn't aware that they were so weak up the middle, and yeah, that screams Frank Gore on the inside zone runs. Absolutely.
And hopefully that's the way, Jamie, because again, this is a must-win game, and here we are in Believe talking about a must-win game in South Beach, but the Bills do need to win this game. We've talked about Josh Allen. We've talked about the ground game. We've covered the receivers. One more player I want to highlight, and I know he's someone that you and I both are a big fan of. Miami's vulnerability also comes against tight ends, and Dawson Knox could be in line for a pretty big performance on Sunday. He hauled in 4 catches for 55 yards against Cleveland. He could have an even bigger role in week 11. And the Dolphins have given up big efforts to opposing tight ends who are not nearly the caliber of what Dawson Knox can be. So to me, I think that's another area where Josh Allen can look to exploit. And if his tight end gets going, that's only going to make Josh feel more comfortable moving forward.
How many passes do you think he's going to drop this week?
I'm hoping only one. I mean, zero would be perfect, but how about you, Jamie? Do you think Dawson's kind of turned a corner with that dropitis, or are you a little worried about that?
No, I think he's going to keep dropping the ball. I think his head is still swimming a little bit. I think it's entirely mental. You see him turn his eyes up the field before he's got the ball in his hands, and I think that's something that's going to get squared away, but not yet. I think we're going to see him drop at least one, and it's going to make me scream at the television, because I'm a person who yells at the television.
You know, Sunday's game should be it's a winnable game. I know Miami's on a 2-game winning streak. They did beat a depleted Colts team, and they did beat the Jets. So there's a little bit of reason for hopeful optimism for Buffalo that this is just, and the games that the Dolphins have won, they've been turnover heavy. They forced 3 interceptions on Brian Hoyer, and against the Jets, they, and here's the thing too, the Dolphins are not the most potent of offenses either under Fitzy. If it wasn't for the short field that they created, Ryan Fitzpatrick was not having a good game against the Colts. You talk about Josh Allen's inefficiency passing the ball. Ryan Fitzpatrick had 169 passing yards on 33 attempts. That, to me, is the epitome of inefficiency when it comes to the passing game. So, I don't know. Bills fans are worried, and they're worried the sky is falling. And I get it. If they lose this game, you have every right to freak out because bye-bye playoffs. But I don't see it happening on Sunday. Ryan Fitzpatrick, to me, Jamie, the Bills have an opportunity to get after him. Now, it's going to be tough if Jerry Hughes, who the Bills have a healthy injury report, which is great, other than Harrison Phillips being out for the year. But Jerry Hughes is questionable with a groin injury that popped up on the injury report late on Thursday. If he's not able to go, Shaq Lawson and maybe Ed Oliver take over more of the responsibilities. But I think, Jamie, this is a game where the Bills defense release the hounds, go after the Dolphins. I think this is going to be a very positive effort for Buffalo's defense. How about you?
You know, they don't blitz a lot. And with Jerry Hughes out, I can see a need for sending more blitzes. Now, I know that they're going to be concerned about Mike Gesicki, who's an excellent tight end. But the Bills are really very good at covering tight ends, which is a real change of pace for them, because in the past, tight ends had always killed them. But I think that, you know, getting players up to the line of scrimmage, and again, getting the secondary to turn around and look at Ryan Fitzpatrick when he's throwing the ball, or tracking the ball when it's in the air, is going to be important. We know this from watching Fitz over the years. He likes to throw the ball when the defensive back isn't looking, even if his player is covered. He has no conscience. Like, all he needs is for the guy in coverage to be looking the wrong way, and he'll let it go, no matter how well covered his man is. So keep your eyes on the quarterback, and also keep an eye on Kalen Ballage. He's not very good.
Yeah, Ballage, or however you want to say it, is averaging a brutal 2.1 yards per carry, 113 total yards this year on 55 carries. The Bills have been gashed pretty frequently in their run game. I don't see that happening on Sunday. I see the Bills tightening up and really clamping down on the run game, which means, yeah, Fitzy is going to be gunslinger Fitzy. He's going to be chucking the ball all over the place on Sunday. And we know Devontae Parker is his favorite target. I have all the faith in the world that Tre'Davious White is going to be able to handle the matchup with Parker. What I have very little confidence in suddenly is Levi Wallace and his ability to shut down Allen Hurns on the opposite side of the field. Could this be the week, Jamie, where we see more of Kevin Johnson supplanting Levi Wallace at that CB2 role?
It depends on how the first half goes, but I think that they're keeping an eye on Levi Wallace right now, because he's not acquitting himself well. He started off the season very well, in fact, as one of the Bills' best players, and that is going downhill quickly. The tape is out on him. They know what it takes to beat him. He certainly has a hard time against bigger-bodied receivers, and that's what Allen Hurns is. So, yeah, I think we may end up seeing Kevin Johnson in the second half.
I hope you didn't have anything to eat before recording the podcast, because, Jamie, I'm going to tell you a stat that's going to make you want to throw up.
Oh, here we go.
Levi Wallace, this year, he is allowing 49 completions on 74 targets. 66.2% of passes thrown his way are being completed, 501 yards surrendered, and 3 touchdowns. Oh my God.
Why would you ever throw a Trey White if that's the kind of efficiency Wallace is giving up?
It's just, it's mind-boggling, and you're right. You know, he turned from such a feel-good story, being the undrafted rookie free agent out of Alabama last year, who, ended up being a top 10 ranked corner according to Pro Football Focus this year. Yeah, he had a good game against the he had a good game in the season opener against the Jets, but since then it's basically been all downhill for Levi Wallace. Kevin Johnson could play a much larger role on Sunday.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Another guy I'm hoping on the defense that we really see more of is Ed Oliver. For some reason, when the Bills started getting gashed on defense, Ed Oliver was the one who was the scapegoat along with Star Latuale, who Ed Oliver was the one who really seemed to bear a lot of the brunt of the Bills' frustrations with the run game getting gashed against Philadelphia and with Adrian Peterson running wild in the first half. I'm not really quite sure why that's the case. I hope that Ed Oliver returns to prominence. I think that the opportunity is definitely there for him to have a monster game against a Dolphins offensive line that is patchwork at best and can be victimized for sure by a good stout defense out there. I don't know, Jamie, what do you think? Is this the week Ed Oliver's going to have another comeback?
I, like you, I don't understand why Ed Oliver seems to be the whipping boy for the lack of run production on defense. I've looked at the All-22 tapes every once in a while, and I've seen some film study, and he seems to acquit himself pretty well. It may just be that Jordan Phillips is playing out of his mind right now, and neither of them are one technique or zero technique defensive tackle, so there's only room for one of them. I would like to see both of them on the field, to be quite honest. I know that's not how McDermott really draws up the defense, but especially on passing downs, since they can both penetrate through the line quickly, I'd like to see that, and I would like to see him on the field more. I would at least like to see Phillips and Oliver splitting evenly in the number of snaps that they're getting. I mean, this is probably not the right way of looking at things, but the more time you keep Jordan Phillips on the field, the more he's going to pad those stats and the more expensive he's going to be in free agency after this season. Frankly, I'd like to keep him, and I don't want it to take up too much of the salary cap because I think there's bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, no, Jordan Phillips is going to cash himself a hefty paycheck, I think, regardless. I mean, he's got, what, 6.5 sacks on the year so far. He's really, you know, the fact that Buffalo signed him to a one-year deal, I get why it was a one-year. I would have loved for a two-year deal to get one more benefit out of Phillips' lightning-in-a-bottle approach this year, but I digress. I feel like it's going to be Ed Oliver, hopefully having a big performance. Whatever the Bills get out of Trent Murphy's kind of gravy. You know, he had that sack against Washington, and then he kind of disappeared again against Cleveland last week. But the key, as we've talked about, the Dolphins do not run the ball very well with Ballage. Fitzy is probably their most potent runner around the goal line. He has two 11-yard touchdown runs this year, including one against Buffalo a couple weeks back at New Era Field. But I really, if the Bills can get a couple interceptions off of Fitzy, I don't think they're going to get beat on the ground game. Special teams, just be average, please. I mean, I want to see Hauschka redeem himself because I really do. I like the way Hauschka and his family, you know, this doesn't matter what I'm going to say for the outcome of the game, but Hauschka seems like he's just a genuinely good guy who loves Buffalo, loves the community. Him and his wife are involved in all these fundraisers and all these charitable efforts, which is why it makes it so much more frustrating what happened last week in Cleveland with Hauschka having himself a day to forget, missing the 34-yarder before halftime and the 53-yarder when the tie was on the table for Buffalo. I don't know. Hopefully Hauschka bounces back because, again, there's nobody out there that is a better kicker that can replace Hauschka on the free agency. I think that I would love to see Hauschka get his groove back on Sunday. Do you think, Jamie, what do you think it is with Hauschka?
Well, you know, kickers go through ups and downs, and Hauschmoney never really had this issue as a Buffalo Bill. He did a little bit in Seattle, and you saw that last week on the attempt for the game-tying field goal. He just didn't hit it soundly. Kickers have ups and downs. I think he's going to be fine. It was a bad game, and I know he's been a little bit less consistent, but, you know, he's made somewhere around 85% of his kicks for his career. That's really good. So, you know, the fact that people are calling for his head, I think, is a little stupid, to be honest with you. Fans are want to overreact, and that's exactly what I think has happened. Outside of that, you know, we've talked about all the head cases on the Buffalo Bills. You got to get his head on straight.
So here it is, Jamie. We are on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. We've talked about pretty much every aspect of this game, where Buffalo has an advantage, where Buffalo might be. And let's be honest, most of the positional matchups, the Bills have the advantage over the Dolphins. The Bills are a better team on paper. They're a better coach team. Special teams is questionable, but I still think the Bills have a better set of players on that side of the ball than Miami does. When it comes down to it, this is a make or break game for Buffalo. When they're 7-3, they have 5 conference wins, and they manage to get a little bit of separation from the pack heading into their hardest part of the season. Lose, and the sky starts falling all across Western New York and with Bills Mafia faster than a guy getting suplexed through a table at New Era Field's parking lots. I knew you would like that one.
That was really good.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, we're having some fun here, obviously. We're having some good prognostications getting ready for the show, the game on Sunday. But, Jamie, that was my way of kind of leading into our predictions for the game. What do you think? Do you think Buffalo's going to come away with a win? I think they're going to, but I want to hear you go first.
Well, I think that they're backed into a corner right now, and they understand that. They know the gravity of this, and I think that they will straighten out a lot of the things that plagued them against the Browns. Like I said earlier, teams always lose games that they shouldn't, and the Bills should not have lost to the Browns, but it's not as bad as people are making it out to be. The unfortunate side of it is the playoff race and trying to get in with a wild card, because obviously you can't beat the Pats right now. But the Bills are going to pull it together this week, and I feel like I predict the Bills to score somewhere in the mid-20s every week, and I'm going to do that again. Well, make it the high 20s. I think that they're going to come out and score about 27 points. And Miami, I see putting up, since the Bills always give up a scoring first drive or two, I think they're going to put one in the end zone and then have a couple of field goals after that. So we're looking at a score of 27-13, Buffalo.
Bills fans would take 27 points in a heartbeat since this offense is only scoring about 19 points a game. But I'm with you, Jamie. I think the Bills offense gets on track against a team that really, yes, they won 2 games in a row, but, you know, they're not as good as their record indicates with a 2-7 mark. Buffalo understands the severity and how much is on line with this game on Sunday. I see the Bills coming out. I see them running the ball down the Dolphins' throats. I see Josh Allen finally connecting on a deep ball. I've been saying that for a couple of weeks. Please, please come through with one on Sunday. I see John Brown continuing his excellent run here in Buffalo as the best free agent signing the Bills have made. I see the defense really getting after Ryan Fitzpatrick. The run game's not going to do too much. I'm going to say Buffalo is going to win this game 29-10. which I think Buffalo gets a special teams score in there as well. They're bound. After the Jerry Hughes overturned call last week in Cleveland, Buffalo is due for a defensive score. I feel like the Dolphins are the prime opponent to surrender one of those. So we'll say that Jordan Poyer has a pick six, which I know is unusual because of where he plays in the field, but that's where I'm going with this one, Jamie. I think the Bills are going to win 29-10, and Buffalo gets that important win to get to 7-3 in the conference. Of course, you can come back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast, next week and hear all about how the game played out in South Beach. Hopefully Buffalo does get that season-saving win heading into the crucial stretch here of the final six games of the year. For my esteemed colleague, Jamie D'Amico, I am John Boccacino, reminding all of our fans to follow us on social media at Buff Rumblings. Jamie is at The Jamie D'Amico, and I am at John Boccacino. For Jamie, I'm John, signing off on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast.